This is Cross Reference News Special Report.
Well, hi, and welcome to the special report on WVCY. This special report is dealing with the primary that we have upcoming here in just a matter of weeks. September 14th, we are going to be casting our vote, and those who make it through the primary will be advancing to the November general election. We do remind you to get informed on the candidates, know their positions, know the issues, and go and cast a prayerful vote as it relates to the primary coming up this September 14th. Well, it's our privilege to have with us today in studio, Dan Sebring had contacted us requesting an interview, and we're accommodating that here today. He's running for the 4th Congressional District for the state of Wisconsin, running against the incumbent, Gwen Moore. And so we're going to be learning about his background and his position on a number of issues. And Dan, so nice to have you here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, for those who are not familiar with the boundaries of the 4th Congressional District, if you would share with us some of the communities, what is the outline of this district that is represented in that 4th Congressional District?
Certainly. The 4th Congressional District is comprised of the entire city of Milwaukee, West Milwaukee, South Milwaukee, St. Francis, Cudahy, and some eastern portions of West Allis.
And the entire city of Milwaukee is encompassed in this, and so therefore a lot of those who are in our WVCY listening area are represented in that 4th Congressional District.
Yes, they are.
Well, Dan, tell us about yourself. People perhaps have seen your name here or there, but don't know who you are, don't know your background, and so if you would share with us about yourself, your background, and why you chose to run for the congressional office.
Certainly. I'm 53 years old. I was born in Milwaukee. I was raised in New Berlin. When I was 23 years old, I joined the United States Navy, where I served on the Chief of Naval Operations Intelligence Staff at the Pentagon during the Reagan administration. After I got my discharge from the Navy, I moved back to Milwaukee, where I realized a lifelong dream of opening an auto repair business. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and I've been there for the last 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
After I got out of the Navy, I moved to the 4th Congressional District, not intentionally, it's just where I ended up. And I kind of became aware of the political process while I was recovering from cancer surgery. I discovered the blog pages, and it's there that I found out how many people know so much about politics and know that there's a better way of doing things, but it doesn't really seem to go much beyond the discussion in the blog pages. That motivated me to write Gwen Moore a letter expressing my concerns about a particular issue. And also in that letter, I expressed my opinion that as a citizen, it was my responsibility to contact her to let her know how I felt about this issue that was important to me. And knowing how her constituency feels, she would have a better idea of how to vote on particular issues. It was her response to that letter that motivated me to run against her. Her response was very dismissive. In fact, if you read between the lines, what it said to me was, how dare you tell me how to do my job?
Hmm.
So when the 2008 election rolled around, I went to vote in the primary, and that's when I found there was no Republican candidate for that office. In disgust, I wrote my own name in the blank where it says write in, and when I got back to my shop, the people in the office asked me, well, how did it go? How did you vote? And I told them, you won't believe it. There's no one running against Gwen Moore on the Republican ticket. I had to write in my own name. And it was at that point that Scott Walker's father-in-law, who's a customer of mine, turned around and looked at me and said, you know, you could really run. You could really have a write-in campaign. And if there were no such thing as Google, I might still be trying to figure out how to do it. But by the end of the day, I was a registered write-in candidate in the 2008 election.
That was on election day itself?
It was on primary day.
On primary day.
Mm-hmm. On primary day. So by the end of primary day, I was a registered write-in candidate for the 2008 general election. And in that election, the write-in votes that were cast for that office, the legitimate write-in votes, there were 514 legitimate write-in votes for that office. And of those 514, I got 483 votes.
Mm.
Now, that told me that I wouldn't be wasting my time to get on the ballot in 2010. And I filed my declaration of intent to be on the ballot in 2010. On November 24th, 2008, long before today's political climate was today's political climate.
Dan, how do you see the role of a congressman? What is the role of Congress? How do you see that?
Well, you know, they call it the House of Representatives for a reason. Our government is supposed to be a reflection of our society in miniature. And the House of Representatives in particular is meant to be, those offices are meant to be held by everyday citizens, and they're supposed to be the main link between the people and the government. Now, what we have today is our congressional representative is the representative of the government to the people, as opposed to the representative of the people to the government. It's a completely 180 degrees out of the way it's supposed to be.
What do you believe is the most important issue that's affecting the 4th Congressional District?
Right now, the most important thing is jobs. Unemployment is the biggest problem that we have. It's underreported what the unemployment rate is in the city of Milwaukee, and particularly in the inner city. And the things that are being done about it have been very ineffective.
So what's the solution?
Well, what I would like to do is have the entire 4th Congressional District declared a federal enterprise zone, where we could give tax incentives to businesses that come to the 4th Congressional District, that stay in the 4th Congressional District, and hire from the 4th Congressional District. Right now, what we're doing is we're throwing a lot of money at nonprofit entities that are providing job trainings for jobs that don't exist. And if we get the job training in the hands of the people that actually provide the jobs, people won't be getting trained for jobs that don't exist, and we won't be wasting money on training them for those jobs that don't exist.
We're doing a lot of deficit spending right now in our country, unprecedented as far as that's concerned. Do you believe we can spend our way out of this recession?
Absolutely not. You know, anybody that has ever had any kind of financial difficulty knows that the first thing that you do when you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole is to stop digging the hole. So you have to spend within your means. You have to cut back. And it also ties into the notion that reducing taxes will do the trick, and you can't. That's not enough. If you reduce taxes, you're going to increase the deficit. So you have to reduce taxes and stop the spending, or you're just spinning your wheels. You're not really accomplishing anything.
So would you, if the measure came before you in Congress and the president said we need to have another bailout, how would you vote on that?
I would vote an emphatic no.
I'm wondering here also, some of the talk that's on everybody's lips has been the recent health care reform legislation that has passed. If you would share with us what is your position on the issue, would you have voted for that health care reform that we saw pass through Congress and the Senate?
First of all, I would not have voted for the health care reform that has just passed through Congress. It does absolutely nothing to actually control the cost of health care. What it does is it regulates the insurance industry, and the insurance industry really doesn't have anything to do with the actual cost of health care. So I would not have voted for that, and in fact, I'm in favor of repealing the health care reform and replacing it with a market-based solution. On my campaign website, I actually have a market-based solution that involves converting health insurance companies into healthcare finance companies, where the only thing that you're paying for is the actual healthcare that you receive, and people won't be turning such a blind eye to what that healthcare actually costs, and it will create competition between healthcare providers, and that will drive down the cost of healthcare.
Many of our listeners are concerned on a number of moral issues here as well. And how would you classify yourself, Dan? Would you call yourself one who is pro-life? Are you one that is what is used as a term pro-choice, a woman's right to choose? Where do you stand on this issue?
I'm 100% pro-life. In fact, recently I've received the endorsement of Wisconsin Right to Life. There is, in my opinion, no circumstance under which it would be acceptable to intentionally take innocent life.
So at what point does life begin, and when do we start protecting it?
Immediately. I think that life begins at conception.
Mm-hmm. There has been moves through the nation as well, that of using tax dollars for embryonic stem cell research. We know there's a difference between embryonic stem cell research and the use of adult stem cell research. Would you be casting a vote in favor of embryonic stem cell research?
No, I'm opposed to embryonic stem cell research. I believe that over time we will find what we need to find in the adult stem cell research that is currently going on.
We're talking today with Dan Sebring, who's running for the 4th Congressional District for the state of Wisconsin, and representative that is in the Milwaukee and greater area of Milwaukee, many suburbs around the city. I'm wondering, is another issue that's of concern to many is the president has a great desire to overturn what's known as DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, here in the state or across the country. Others have talked about a constitutional amendment saying that marriage is between one man and one woman. Would you be in favor of amending the Constitution that would declare marriage to be between a man and a woman? Do you support DOMA? Do you support overturn of DOMA? What is your position?
Well, that's kind of a tricky subject right now, because recently a federal judge, I believe, has decided that the Defense of Marriage Act violates the 10th Amendment, meaning that the federal government really doesn't have a say in this particular issue. It's not covered in the Constitution, and it would take a constitutional amendment, to make the Defense of Marriage Act constitutional. Now, here in Wisconsin, we've already decided that issue, and the people of Wisconsin have spoken. They have already defined marriage as between a man and a woman and nothing else. And if it came to a constitutional amendment, as a representative of the people, I would have to vote in favor of that, regardless of what my personal feelings might or might not be. I would be representing the people. The people of Wisconsin have spoken, and they want marriage defined as between a man and a woman, and that's how I would vote.
Mm-hmm. But how do you feel personally on it?
Personally, I agree that it should be between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm. There is other legislation that's pending right now before Congress and may have a vote cast even prior to the November election, and it is the matter of adding sexual orientation and gender identity in the federal anti-discrimination laws. It's manifested itself. It's known as ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. You're a business owner. Would you vote in favor of ENDA or in opposition to ENDA?
I need you to run that by me one more time, because I'm not familiar with it.
Sure. ENDA is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and that would add sexual orientation and gender identity in the federal anti-discrimination statutes, meaning that if a business owner, if there was a cross-dresser that came to a business owner, he had X number of employees, he could not say, no, I'm not going to hire you. He would be required to consider that person for employment as anybody else. Should we pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or would you be in opposition to that?
Boy, that's a tough one. I really hadn't considered anything like that before, and I really couldn't give you an answer right now. Mm-hmm. I would need to dig into that and get back to you on that, but I can tell you right now that I would be leaning towards not being in favor of something like that, but I really don't know the whys and wherefores of all of that, and I would have to get back to you with a firm answer.
Yeah, and that may be something that's up for a vote even prior to November election here. President Obama has called for doing away with Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, and to allow for open homosexuals to serve openly in the military. What's your position?
Being a veteran, I'm kind of familiar with this, and certainly I know that I worked with homosexuals, and they're there. And I would be kind of in favor of something along the lines of don't ask, don't tell, who cares? I think that we should just say thank you for your service and let it go at that. I have never had a problem, even living in the barracks with homosexuals, as well as working with them. And the thing that bothers me the most about the don't ask, don't tell is that if they've provided their military service in good faith and haven't been a problem, if it comes out that they're a homosexual, they can lose. They can get a dishonorable discharge. I could see a discharge under other than honorable conditions. I don't think that it's fair that they can just get a dishonorable discharge. Having said that, like I said, I think it should be don't ask, don't tell, who cares?
Okay. So let me put you in the congressional seat right now, because the vote is out there right now. The president says, here is legislation that has come up. Matter of fact, right now it's an amendment to the Defense Authorization Bill. Should we add this amendment to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell? How would you vote?
And it's part of which bill now?
Well, it's an amendment to another bill that they're looking at right now. But you're casting your votes strictly on that issue about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. In essence, then, would allow for open homosexuals to serve in the military. How would you cast that vote?
I think I would vote no on that.
Okay. Let me ask you this. On another issue here, illegal immigration. Do you see it as being a problem in the state of Wisconsin? Do you see it as being a problem in the country?
Certainly, it's a problem here in Wisconsin, and it's a problem nationwide. I agree with the Arizona law that is causing so much controversy right now. All that really does is reinforce current federal law. And in fact, I've spoken to some of the leaders in the Hispanic community here in the city of Milwaukee, and they support it as well. The people that are coming across the border illegally now, today, are not the same kinds of people that were coming across the border illegally even 5 and 10 years ago. The people that are coming across the border today are coming to do us harm. They're not coming looking for work. There is no work for them, and they know it. So the people that would have been coming here looking for jobs know that there aren't any jobs, and they're staying home right now. And the people that are coming across the border are coming to run drugs, they're coming to run guns, they're coming here to do us harm. And that's why we need to secure the borders, and that's why we need to enforce the immigration laws that we currently have on the books.
Dan Sebring with us here today on this Cross-Reference News Special Report, running for the 4th Congressional District. Dan, there is another area that we need to look at, and that is we saw a recent Supreme Court decision on the liberty of people to have the right to keep and bear arms here across the nation. Do you favor tougher laws on keeping and bearing arms? What about carry conceal? What is your position on this?
I favor concealed carry. I'm a big supporter of the Second Amendment. I believe that if you're eligible, if you're not a convicted felon, you should be able to carry a weapon in the manner of your own choosing, so long as you're an adult and you're eligible to own that weapon. The Second Amendment is a very big deal to me, and I fully support it.
Are you satisfied with the way education is conducted in our nation right now? Do we have a good educational system?
Well, no, we don't have a good educational system, and right now our current representative in the Congress is pushing for more financing and programs for the public school system, and she wants to do away with the choice schools and the charter schools, and those are the schools that are working. The kids that are succeeding are coming out of the choice schools and the charter schools, and we have to let them do their work and educate our children. I don't believe that the federal government really has a place in telling local government how to educate their children.
Would you support, give us your perspective on homeschooling. Do you support homeschooling, parents choosing that direction, or do we need tougher educational oversight over homeschool families? What do you think?
I support homeschooling, and as far as the oversight, I don't know what is currently in place, to be perfectly honest. And if you talk to kids that are homeschooled, they're pretty smart kids. And that, just like the choice schools and the charter schools, that is working. And I think anything that you would do to tamper with that would degrade the education of those children.
We're going to quickly turn to the environment right now. We have seen this past legislative session, the House of Representatives passed what was known as cap and trade legislation, global warming legislation. Was this something you would support, or do you have opposition to legislation like this?
I would be vehemently opposed to the cap and trade bill. All that's really going to do is it's going to kill jobs. It's going to drive up everyone's utility costs. It's a very, very, very bad thing. It's going to drive people out of business. I have friends that work for We Energies that have told me, and these are fairly highly placed people as well, that it is going to cost, not just financially to the individuals, but businesses are going to have to shut down because they're not going to be able to afford their utility bills. And it's going to be a bad deal all the way around. So we need to do what we can do to make sure that this doesn't become law.
We've talked about a whole wide gamut of issues here today. What do you believe separates you most from your opponent?
Well, I don't know a lot about my opponent, and apparently neither does anybody else. But what I do know, he apparently...
Okay, so just to set the stage here, when you're talking about this, you're talking about for the Republican nomination primary.
I'm talking about Ken Lipinski now for the Republican primary. And what I do know about Ken, it seems to me that he kind of wants to be a rubber stamp for the people. I know that on his campaign website, he makes a statement to words to the effect of, if it doesn't violate the laws of God and it's what the people want, that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? That's good up to a point, but you have to take a stand on certain issues. You can't just be a rubber stamp for the people. There's moral issues. There's constitutional issues. You know, if somebody wants the government to do something for them that is explicitly forbidden in the Constitution of the United States of America, you can't just go ahead and do that because somebody said they want it. So there's more to it than just doing what the people want. You have to abide by the United States Constitution, and you have to abide by your own moral compass as well as what the people want.
And then as you would compare yourself to the incumbent right now, Gwen Moore, what do you believe best separates you from Gwen Moore?
Well, I fundamentally disagree with her position on the role of government in the people's daily lives. She believes that the United States of America should be the great provider of all things for all people. And I believe that people should stand up for themselves.
For those who are listening to the interview today, what do you want them to take away from this interview? What do you want them to most know about Nancy Bring?
That they have a choice, that they're not stuck with the current representation that they have, that the government is not going to be the great provider. It's going to go broke if they keep doing what they're doing. In fact, I think the government is very, very close to financial collapse, as well as our whole economic system. So the difference between myself and the incumbent is that she wants to spend. I want to get us out of the hole. I want us to recover economically. I want us to prosper as a nation and as individuals.
For those who are listening today, say, hey, I want to be in contact with you. I want to know more about you. I want to know about your positions. How can they best obtain that information?
Well, there's a couple of different things that you can do. First of all, I do have a campaign website, and it's very simple. It's dansebring.com, dansebring.com. Or you can pick up the phone. You can call 414-321-3605. That rings into my campaign office.
You better repeat that again. That was kind of fast.
414-321-3605. And if you don't get me, you'll get a member of my staff or the machine with my happy voice on there asking you to leave a message. And I guess that's probably the best way, unless you wanted to get in the car and drive down to my shop on 60th and Howard and come and say hello to me in person. I'd be happy to talk to anybody that comes along.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you stopping by today and helping us learn more about your background, your position on issues, and a final thought you'd like to share with the listeners.
Well, I would like everyone to know that if you're dissatisfied with the way the government is being run today, if you believe there has to be a better way, if you go to my campaign site, dansebring.com, and you look at the issue pages and you say, geez, I really agree with this guy. I need to help him. I need to help Gwen Moore find her way to the private sector. Please go to my campaign site. Give me a call. 414-321-3605. We're always looking for volunteers to help out. And again, campaign finances has been an issue for us. We're in one of the poorest districts in the country. $5, $10, whatever you can afford. You can actually make an online contribution at supportsebring.com. And I have one message that I would like to get across, and that is that I will not bring the policies of government to the people. I will bring the wishes of the people to the government.
Well, Dan, thanks for being with us here today on the special report.
Thank you very much.
This has been a Cross-Reference News special report.
This is Jim Schneider with a follow-up to our Cross-Reference News interview with Dan Sebring for the 4th Congressional District. Following our interview, Mr. Sebring called me indicating that he did conduct further research on ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and that he could not support it, but was in opposition to it. Thank you for joining us on this special report.